Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hope all is well. We thank God and give him glory. What an awesome and mighty God we serve. Even isn't he worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise? We thank you, Lord. We lift you up. We magnify your holy and righteous name. If you're happy and excited about God and the things he's doing in your life, what's going to do, I dare you to get excited, to hit that heart button, that like button, that share button, whatever it may be, and give God some praise, some honor, and glory for all that he has done, continues to do. In spite of our wrongs, he still looks out, he still cares for us, he still loves us. We're fresh off the resurrection, so we thank you, God, for all you have done in our lives. Welcome to New Creation Church. I'm Pastor George Thomas here, and I'm grateful that you decided to worship with us today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, your tablets, your phones, whatever you may be using, go ahead and go to the Gospel of Luke today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 24 real quick. We're going to look at verses 10 and 12 to kind of set up our text today. Amen. Verses 10 and 12 in the Gospel of Luke. And it reads as follows. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. If you don't mind, real quick, you can go ahead and put the title in the comments below. Who can I run to? Amen. If I had a subtitle today's message, it would be Restoration After the Resurrection. Who Can I Run To? A song originally recorded by a group called the Jones Girls. I didn't know that before this message. It was in 1979, a little bit before my time, amen. But those who are 35 and older, my era, we remember the version of that song recorded by the girl group Escape. The lyrics, although they're aimed at a man, the women are seem to be in some kind of sense or need of some kind of saving from the situation they're in. In fact, one verse she sings, as I stand here contemplating on the right thing to decide, will I take the wrong direction? On another verse, she sings, I have strong determination and I am not afraid of change. I have yet to find someone else who would care. I know my R&B singers know all the lyrics, but I'm looking at today's message post-resurrection, and I came to tell somebody today the party isn't over. Nah. I know we celebrated Easter and resurrection, but you still should be glad about it. The fact you got somebody to run to, and his name is Jesus. Real quick, let me talk about Peter today. He's our focus of today. Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the mother of James, leaving the tomb, they told the apostles what had happened. Can you imagine these women who came to look at Jesus among the dead? They came to look and to get him with the proper spices to make sure he was smelling good and taken care of, because they couldn't go in there during the Sabbath. So they go early Sunday morning to hook Jesus up, his dead body, and they come and don't see him there no more. They come and he's not there. And tripping me out, an angel said, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? That should have preached right there, amen. Because sometimes we do the same thing. We go look for dead situations when we should look for things that are alive. We keep running to dead places and dead things that are not coming up, that are not going to give us any life or restore anything to us. Yet these women came to Jesus' tomb trying to hook up his dead body. So they go and they see the stones rolled away. They see the angels. They get told the miracle, the miraculous, that Jesus has rose from the grave. He did what he said he was going to do. So they go and tell the apostles. They go and tell the apostles, his 12 disciples, 11. Now Judas is gone. His 11 disciples, they go and tell them all what they said. And the Bible said these seem like idle tales. They thought these girls was just telling stories. They thought these women was tripping. I love this. But verse 12 said, but Peter arose. Woo, I got to preach right there for a second, because I got to teach you something that may help you when you study the Bible. This is what I do. It said, but Peter arose. So when you see the word but a lot of times in the Bible, what you need to do is sit your butt right down in that text. Amen. You need to sit right down your butt right there in that scripture and kind of soak up what it's telling you. And it says, but Peter arose. Why is that important, Pastor George? Let me help you out real quick. For those who might not know and read the Bible too often, Peter is my dude. Why is Peter my dude? Because you get to see his whole story kind of play out through the Gospels and on to the book of Acts and on so forth. Because Peter, he, you see his heights, his falls, his sins, you see everything. You see Peter, who kind of, when they came to fish, and he, Jesus told him to put the nets down, he kind of mocks Jesus and said, "Oh, master, it's late, but if you tell me to do it, I'll do it." And they put the nets down and catch a load of fish so much that it wasn't enough. They had to call somebody else to help them. And he said, "Please get away from me. I'm a sinful man." And Jesus said, "Nah, Peter, come roll with me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men." I love Peter in the gospel. You see Peter at the transfiguration, who was excited about seeing Jesus and Moses and Elijah. He says, "Look here, let's make a statue for Jesus and a statue for Moses and one for Elijah." And then God has to come down and say, "No, this is my son who I am well pleased." We see Peter, who when Jesus is dying, saying, "I got to go to this cross. I got to die." And Peter's like, "No, you can't die." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," because he's seen Satan trying to work through Peter. Amen. Because it's a trip when Satan trying to work to you, even though you mean some good. Who am I talking to? Sometimes we mean good. We're trying to do the right things. And because Satan got a hold of our heart, he messes us up. We make the wrong decision or say the wrong thing at the wrong time. I love Peter's testimony. You see Peter also, he's the one that walked on water. Amen. After all the disciples were scared to get out the boat. Don't beat up Peter too bad, because Peter had some faith on him. Amen. That he got out the boat and said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto you, Lord. Let me walk unto you." And he began to walk on water. Yeah, he stumbled a little bit and he looked around and got scared and started to sink. But the fact is, he did something nobody else has done except Jesus. Amen. So I love Peter's testimony. Peter's also the one, I know I'm going on about Peter, but you got to read the Bible. His story is so good. Peter is the first one that said, "You know what? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He let everybody know. So Peter had his good, his bad, his highs, his lows. So Peter, guess what? Is a person just like me and you. Amen. So we're going to look at Peter today. So the first thing I need to figure out real quick is why I run to Jesus. Amen. Well, why do I need to run to Jesus? And real quick, I won't be too long with this, but I'm going to let you know the one reason I need to run to him, one of many, is because he's Alpha and Omega, because he's beginning and end, because he's the bright and morning star, because he's all knowing and all powerful, omnipresent, existed before time began. He's the word of the living God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He is the reason why I need to run to him, because he's all of that. Amen. So let's look at the text real quick. Luke 22 verses 31 and 32. Follow with me real quick. It says this: "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Wow, oh wow, oh wow. That's deep right there. We got to pause for the cause for a second right there. Anytime Jesus is bringing up Satan to somebody, we got to sit right there and let that resonate for a minute. So they're in a room preparing the Passover. They're in a room preparing the last meal. And Jesus is setting up the Lord's Supper with his disciples. And they are tripping, y'all. They arguing over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. He know he's about to go die for the sins of the world. And he trying to chill, have this time with his disciples. They arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And then Jesus says, "Look, one of y'all going to betray me. One of y'all going to, the one who dipped his hand in his blood." Everybody's like, "Is it I? Is it I?" We know it to be Judas, because we know the story of the gospel. But then he moves his focus to Peter and says those words out of almost nowhere, it seems. He has all this going on around him. And then he takes and focuses on Peter and says, "Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to sift you as wheat." My God, my God. Sifting as wheat. What is sifting? Sifting is a process that harvesters use. They had to spend time going through to get the wheat. So what they would have to do is they would have to take this process. It was twofold, one called threshing and the other one called winnowing. And they would have to go and beat the impurities out of the wheat. It was a process that took some time, but it got the wheat, got all the impurities out the wheat that made it fresh. And he said, "Satan wants to sift you as wheat." What does that say to me? That says to me that Satan, watch this, wants to go through our lives sometime with a fine tooth comb. Wow. Because if he goes through our lives with a fine tooth comb, if he feels he keeps searching, eventually he gonna find something he can use. Come on, my people that love ID Channel, the detectives, they gotta go through things with a fine tooth comb, keep looking and searching till something shows up that they can use as evidence to get that person. And just like a detective, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, is just like that. He comes and tries to be a detective and tries to bring up things in our life. Let me show you. He comes as an accuser. He goes through your life as a fine tooth comb and says, "Look at her. Yeah, she got some daddy issues. Yep, yeah, she's lonely. She's searching for a man. It's cool. So I'm going to keep sending random guys to her that keep lying to her, keep hooking up with them. So then her heart can be broken. Maybe she can have some kids, and maybe she can not feel loved and be beat down. And then I can go and try to sift her as we. Yeah, yeah. Look at bro. Bro been through some issues in his life. He kind of nasty. I'm going to get him turned out. Then he looking at stuff on computer screens he shouldn't be watching. I'm going to mess with him. Now his heart and mind is controlled by lust. It's eventually going to cost him his family. Maybe cost him his children. I'm going to sift to him as weak. Maybe you've been into a lot of fight. Maybe you got some anger issues. And all it takes is a second to pop up. You go 0 to 100 real quick. Maybe it just takes a few things. All of a sudden you mad. You all you can see is red. You ready to snap. And Satan says, yep, I see that. I'm going to have people push their buttons and take them there so they can be in the jail for the rest of their life. Or maybe they can get killed themselves. I come to sift you as wheat. My God, we got to be careful. I love this. I love this. But while Satan is trying to sift us like wheat, I love Jesus. That's why I got to run to him. Watch this. John 14 and 30. It's not on the screen, but check it out. Jesus says this. Watch this. He says, the prince of this world has come for me, but he has nothing in me. Woo! I don't think y'all caught that, amen. This is why he deserves all the worship and all the praise, amen. He said, the prince of this world comes for me, but he has nothing in me. Remember, Jesus has no sin in him. So Jesus cannot be tempted to sin. I love this. I love this. Sin can't take over his life. So Satan came and tried to sift him as wheat till he found out he was the Son of God. He tried to sift him as wheat until he found out he was the bread of life. Who am I preaching to? I'm talking about Jesus, the one and only. I love this. While Satan is trying to get us caught up, we can run to the one who Satan tries to come at, but Satan ain't got nothing against. My God. What else do I see about this text? This shows, watch this, the power of Jesus and the limits of the devil. Yeah, I love that. It shows the power of my Savior and the limits of my enemy. Amen. Yeah, yeah, you run this world, Satan. Yep. You can give it to whom you please. You can give kingdoms and whatever you want to. You run this world systems. You've made this world your playground because of sin. That's cool in the game, but don't ever get it twisted. You got to ask before you touch mine. Woo, did you say that? Did you say that? Satan has came to me and requested you, Peter. He's coming to you, and he wants to sift you as wheat. Somehow, in our human reasoning, we like to think that God and the devil are on the same level. We like to think God and the devil are on the same level. No, he's beneath God. Don't ever get it twisted. I'm going to give you something for free right here. Revelation 12 and 7 is talking about the war in heaven. I love this. God showed me this revelation years ago. I love this. It said a war broke out in heaven, and Satan's angels fought against Michael and his angels. Satan's angels fought against Michael and his angels. So to me, that says God didn't get too much involved. He told Mike to handle his light work. Amen. Don't you know that the devil is God's light work? Amen. That he ain't even getting involved. Matter of fact, it's too petty for him. He said, look here, you ain't on my level. I sent Michael to handle you, and Michael overthrew you and kicked you out. I'm not coming down to fight you because you don't want this smoke. I am God. I am the one who created you. Amen. You know who your God is. The God you see is the God you get. But also, as Satan came to sift him as wheat, verse 32 said this, Jesus, but I have prayed for you. That's a moment to shout right there. But I have prayed for you. We see in this word, amen. Look at what I told you last time. When you see the word but, you got to sit your butt down in that scripture and soak up what God is saying. He said, but I have prayed for you. I get excited about this. Why? Because my Savior isn't just seeking to soak up all the worship, even though he deserves it. He's not just sitting, soaking up all the praise and all the worship and all the glory. He ain't just sitting there. He says, no, but I'll pray for you. He deserves all of it. Don't get it twisted. He deserves all the worship, the praise. He deserves all of that. But I serve a God that also prays for me. I don't know nobody else or no other God that is praying for his creation, that they prevail, praying for their creation, that they progress, that they succeed. I love this. He prayed, watch this, what he prayed, that your faith should not fail. Amen. That your faith should not fail. God is praying that prayer for Peter, that his faith stays persistent. Why is that important? Right here, we find out in the next two verses, because he's about to face his biggest test yet. Luke 22, 33 and 34. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. Wow. That's a trick. Because Peter said, look here, I'm willing to go to death or prison. Peter, I told you, that's why I like Peter. Peter, a ride or die. Peter, a G. Peter, like, look here, I know what you're saying. Somebody going to betray you. I know how what everybody else doing. But look, Jesus, I'm gang gang. I come to you. I'm going to prison or death. Whatever you doing, I'm doing. I'm riding with you, Lord. But Jesus said, Peter, well, I love your enthusiasm. I love what you're saying. You're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. Ain't that a trip? What happens? Watch this. Watch this. They go into the garden. After they in the room, they go into the garden to pray. Jesus brings Peter, James, and John, his inside crew of the disciples. He brings them with them. He goes to pray. They over there asleep, knocked out. He prays to the Father. Not my will be done, Father, but your will be done. He knows this cup is heavy and it's about to come to him. He got to get ready to die for the sins of the world. He gets mad and upset. They're sleeping. Boom. All of a sudden, he gets them up. He says, my betrayer's here. Judas and the clan shows up. Judas is a betrayer who betrayed him for the 30 pieces of silver. They show up and Peter goes off. They put a hand on Judas. Peter whips out his sword and cuts a dude ear out. Peter is about that life. I told y'all, read the Bible. Peter is that dude. He cuts his ear off. It's a trip, y'all. And Jesus bends down. Everybody's fighting, going crazy. Jesus bends down, touches the man's ear, restores it, and tells Peter, put down your sword. He said, because if you live by the sword, Peter, you're going to die by the sword. My ministry is not built on violence. It's built on peace. It's built on love. It's built on God's word. Amen. And what you're trying to do, I get it. You're trying to defend me, but I don't defend like that. He says, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Let me make it up to 2021. You live by the gun, you die by the gun. If I could preach to a young brother, and I can tell you, put the pistol down. You think you can continue to shoot and kill and rob and steal and think ain't nothing going to happen? No. If you live by it, you will die by. You don't need that type of energy in your life. Jesus put it out there plain and simple way back then. But look at this. So Jesus gets locked up. All the disciples scatter, right? But we see two disciples face two different situations. Judas did a horrible thing. He betrayed Jesus. He tried to give back the 30 pieces of silver. He says, look, take this. I betrayed innocent blood. He goes to the high priest, the church folk, and say, take this back. I messed up. Christ ain't did nothing but love me. He ain't did nothing but speak life into me. He ain't do nothing but care for me. He ain't did nothing but good to people. But hell, people, take this money back. And they said, we don't care. It's been done. So he throws the silver off and leaves off. Peter, watching Jesus' trial from behind, as they come and they arrest Jesus in the middle of the night. Somebody says, hey, ain't you the one that rode with Jesus? Peter said, nah, I don't know him. Somebody else said, ain't you, Peter, you the one that rode with Christ? He said, nah, I don't know him. Another person said, I know that is you. You are Peter. You the fisherman. You rode with it. Peter goes, gets upset. He cusses them out. I told you, you see, I got y'all the short version, but you see Peter every step of the way, his whole walk through the gospel. You see Peter as a person, a human being you can relate to. Peter cussed him out and said, I don't know Jesus. And then the rooster crowed. It says that Peter went off and whipped bitterly. Judas, we know, whipped bitterly. He was upset. And I want you guys to look at this real quick, because I'm comparing the two. Is betrayal and denial, is there any difference? I know we like to beat Judas up because he betrayed Jesus, but Peter betrayed him as well because he denied him. Because Jesus said things like this, that if you deny me before men, I will deny you my Father in heaven. That if you deny me before men, if you don't want to acknowledge me as your Lord before men, then I won't acknowledge you when it's time to come into my kingdom. Amen. Jesus said things like that. So we see two different things. One person betrays them. The other person denies them. They both had the opportunity to go right. Things went crazy that night. But Judas went to hang himself that night. Judas forgot all of Jesus' teachings. Judas couldn't find no hope in what he did. He thought, watch this, he was too far removed from the cross. And I come to tell you, watch this, Peter did the opposite. Peter wept about it. Peter cried about it bitterly. But Peter went and cried and said, you know what, I'm just going to cry about it and hope God forgives me. But some of us feel like Judas. We feel that there's no room on the cross for us because we did so many wrong. We hurt so many people. We done so many bad things. We think the cross can't extend to us. And I come to help somebody today. The cross ain't too far as you can't get saved. At the cross, his arms were stretched far enough to hold everybody in the world. Amen. That he hung there long enough to hold everybody's sin. That he hung there long enough. But the problem is, some of us take this Judas route. Watch this. We can't forgive ourselves. Woo! Who am I preaching to this morning? Who am I preaching to that you done did so much wrong that you can't forgive yourself, that God has forgiven you? That person might have forgiven you already, but you are hurting so bad. You've done so many wrong things that you're sitting there and you can't even forgive yourself. You can't let go of your issues. You can't let go of the hurt and the pain. You can't. And you sitting there thinking, God can't forgive me. My life is useless. I might as well live however I want to live. I might as well go do however I want to do. What God forbid, take the Judas route and commit suicide. I come against the spirit of suicide in somebody's life right now in the name of Jesus. If you're thinking about it, I denounce it right now in the name of Jesus. It should not have you. It cannot have you. God said, get up. God said, move. God said, forgive yourself. Get up and walk in the forgiveness and the love of God. Woo! Because Judas didn't do that. Peter cried about it Friday and Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, somebody should have shouted right there, come on, where are my saints at? He cried about it Friday night. He cried about it Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, he got some news. Amen. The Bible tells me weeping may endure for a night. Watch this. But joy come in the morning. That's why I can't quit. That's why I can't give up. That's why I got to keep running after him. Because weeping may endure for a night. It might be one night. It might be two nights. It might be three nights. It might be five nights. It might be seven. I don't know how long the weeping is going to go on, but what I do know is one day joy is going to come in the morning. Give God a praise for your joy in your morning. I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's next week, next month. Keep on pursuing and trusting God, but joy is coming in the morning. Woo! So when he heard he was back, watch this. All the other disciples, all the ladies was tripping. They like, well, why you telling these idle tales? Why y'all telling these ghost stories? Jesus ain't back from the dead. We seen him die on the cross. You see how bad he was whipped. You see how bloody he was. You see how much pain he endured. There's no way he's back. All of Dr. Lettys was tripping, but Peter. All of Dr. Peter took off running. Why? Because he remembered that night that they caught that great fish. And Jesus said, lay the net right there. And all the fish came when they had been fishing all night and caught nothing. Peter remembered the transfiguration when he seen Jesus, Moses, and Elijah all talking to each other. And God said, this is my son. Listen to him who well pleases me. Peter remembered that he says, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Peter remembered all the time that he prayed that he said you should have faith. He remembered that, look here, Satan said he wanted to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Peter, amen, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, watch this, Peter, I need you to strengthen your brethren, which means I pray for your faith. I know Satan's after you. I know you're going to fall. My God, look how awesome and loving Jesus. I know you're going to fall, but when you return to me, woo, I know you're going to fall. Some of us have fallen, amen. Some of us have fallen from grace, but I got some good news for you. Wherever you at, my brother and sister, wherever you may have fallen, wherever you may have fallen short, I'm telling you right now, get up and return to him, because once you return to him, he can reconstruct your mind. Once you return to him, he can remove all the filth of your life. Once you return to him, he can reconstruct your heart, amen. Return to him. He said, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren, which means when you return to me, I'm going to give you the ability to strengthen other people in your life. I'm going to give you the ability to strengthen strangers. People are going to see my glow and my glory all over you, but I need you first to return to me. Woo! Peter, who was full of his own guilt. Peter, who could have went the same route as Judas, but instead of choosing his own destiny, he waited on God. And that's where we got to get to a point in our life. Watch this. To understand that I can either choose my own destiny or I can wait on God to lead me and guide me. Because at the end of the day, while we celebrate Easter, we got to understand that there is restoration immediately after the resurrection. Woo! That there is restoration. We see it in Peter's life. There is restoration. He is restored. But it wasn't until after the resurrection. I don't care how far left you go. You can always get right when you come back to Christ. He said, when you return to me, you can strengthen your brethren. He said, look here, when you're low and hurting, you should run to Jesus. When you're brokenhearted and all is lost, you should run to Jesus. When you unhappy and you sad, you should run to Jesus. When all things are wrong and ain't nothing working, and maybe you're unforgiven, or maybe you've been in betrayal, whatever you've been in, you should run to Jesus. But I got on the flip side. When you're happy and glad, you should run to Jesus. When things seem to be going good in your life, you should also run to Jesus. When I'm glad and excited, when I'm blessed and favored, I should still continue to run to Jesus. Anytime and any situation, I still and must run to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. I love the story of Peter, and I'm done right here when I say this. You see Peter, because Jesus appears back to the disciples, y'all, over the next days. He appears in places and things. And when his last appearances, he goes up to the sea and they're having breakfast. So imagine Peter now has to sit down with Jesus. He knows he's resurrected. He knows he's forgiven, but he's feeling kind of uncomfortable. I can imagine that, looking at him, knowing that, dang, I told you I was around to die. I told you I would go to death in prison, and I denied you. Yet you're going to sit right here with me and still break bread with me and have fish. And Peter says, Jesus said these words to Peter. This is in John 21, if you want to read it later on your own. He says this. He says, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord. Then God says, feed my sheep. He asks him again. He says, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord. He says, then feed my sheep. Jesus asks him again, Peter, do you love me? Peter, a little agitated guy, you know all things. You told me I was going to leave you and deny you before the crow crocks three times. You knew about Judas was going to be the one to betray. You know everything, Lord. Yes, you know I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. Because we must understand that when Satan was praying and trying to sift Peter as we get this, y'all, he saw some of a glimpse of Peter's future. He knew Peter was going to go on to lead the church. That Peter was going to go on, watch this, to preach a powerful sermon in the book of Acts not long after Jesus resurrected, and thousands would get saved. He knew Peter would endure things for the cross. He knew Peter would go beyond others. He would go and preach this gospel with all his last heart-breathing breath. So he tried to take Peter out and sift him as wheat to stop his future. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you. And when you have returned to me, my God, strengthen your brethren. Because when you return to me, I have put people and things in your life that you may be able to encourage, influence, instruct, and change somebody else's future. Amen. Give God some praise right now that there is restoration after the resurrection. So maybe last week, you said it was Easter. That's cool with the gang. But you were really wasn't ready to make a commitment to Christ. Understand this, the resurrection is not just about one day. As a pastor, we can preach the resurrection 365 every Sunday, 52 weeks, that it is that powerful, that moment in history, in human history, literally changed everything. That moment in human history allowed us to get close to God. It allowed us to have Jesus as our high priest, our sacrifice of sins, that his blood drew us into a place that we knew nothing about. So if this is you, if you feel too removed from his blood, I'm asking you first, if you can't forgive yourself, please forgive yourself and understand that God loves you and God cares, that God wants you in the sheepfold, that God desires to have you with him, that you serve a God that prays for you. You serve a God that loves you enough that the Bible says he sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for his saints, that he sits at the right hand, the throne of God. He has a chair, a seat next to God, and he's praying for his saints. Wouldn't you want to be the ones that Jesus is praying for? If you know you need Christ in your life, it's a number to say text to join, or you want to contact us and talk about it. We are here. We want to help you get to an abiding relationship in Christ, a relationship that can literally change your life, a relationship that will take you to a place to have you see things you have never seen. Watch this. Become a new creation. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So, dear Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you, oh God, for your word going forth. I pray for that soul right now, Father God, that is contemplating, oh God, should they go or should they not? I pray, oh God, you convict their hearts right now, oh God, that you convict them, oh God, to turn their lives over to Christ. They will surrender whatever idols is in their life. They will surrender whatever is trying to keep them bound, whatever Satan is using to try to sift them as weak. I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, you lift them up, Father God, that their faith should not fail them at this time and this season, oh God, that their faith watch it, that the enemy will not sift them as wheat and use distractions to get them off track. Amen. That we will not be distracted from our destiny. We will not be distracted from discipleship. We will not be distracted from living a life that gives glory to God in all ways. Oh God, help them right now in the name of Jesus. For those that are on the right track already, oh God, that love you, I pray you strengthen your saints right now, Father God. Help them, oh God, because we know Satan desires to sift them as wheat as well. So we pray, oh God, right now you give us the strength to stand, to be encouraged, and to walk by faith and not by sight, and live a life that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen, amen. Give God some praise, some hearts, some likes, shout mouth of praise, whatever it may be. We want to give God all the glory, honor, and praise, amen. Wow, so I thank you for worshiping with us today, amen, as I do as always. We log on at different times, so I want to make sure if you're a member or you didn't get a chance to give earlier, amen, to do your tithes or your offering, you can text to give or Cash App, either one is fine. If you want to give, if you are a guest and you say, you know what, this word just blessed me today, I want to sow into the ministry. Thank you again for sowing into the ministry. Amen. We appreciate every gift. We are thankful. Amen. To my tithers. Amen. I'm praying blessings upon blessings. Amen. Especially those who said, Pastor, we're in our 90-day tithing challenge. We're going to kick it. We're going to do what you have called us to do, what God has called us to do, really. And we got your back. I appreciate that so much, man. God bless you. As the word says in Malachi, he's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. Amen. We believe that as God called us to tithe. So I thank you for that. Amen. As you're preparing your offering, your gift, I'm going to pray for it real quick and ask God to bless it and multiply. Dear Lord, we thank you, God, for every tithe, offering, seed sown, oh God, into this ministry, oh God. I pray right now, Father God, that it goes forth for the using and edifying of your kingdom. I pray, Father God, that you return, oh God, unto them, oh God, as you said, prove me wrong, oh God. You begin to open their eyes, begin to show them, oh God, how much you just bless faithfulness, oh God, how much you can do with more, oh God. When we give it to you, oh God, you always give us back more. And it's not always financial, oh God. Sometimes it's more peace. Sometimes it's more joy. Sometimes it's more love. Sometimes it's more strength. Sometimes it's more patience. But whatever that more is you want to put in their life, I pray, oh God, that you multiply it right now in the name of Jesus. We believe it done so. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you all. We are thankful. Hope you enjoyed the word, the worship, and everything. We'll see you guys again next week. Until then, be blessed. Take care. PG, Lady Thomas, New Creation Church, and we out.